everyone, to the Green Tea with Marilee show, where this is the place to learn about natural health and healing, where you'll find natural health tips, product reviews, interviews with experts in alternative medicine, and occasional tea talks like we are having tonight. Before we get into our tea talk with our very special guest, Chris Jackson, I want to announce two upcoming programs that I think many of you on the call tonight or listening in on the show will be interested in joining in. Next Monday night, May 19th, we're having with us the president of the American Holistic Nurses Association, Lucia Thornton, and the following Wednesday on May 24th, first, we are having the president of the National Nurses and Business Association, Pat Bemis. So stay tuned, keep reading your emails, and you will get the details on all of that. So before we get started here, I just want to do a little intro music to bring in our wonderful guest. We are having a tea talk with a very, very special person. She's a wonderful friend of mine. I'm so grateful that she's in my life. She is also a holistic nurse. She's a professor of holistic nursing, and her name is Christine Jackson, and I will let her tell you about all of her wonderful credentials. Hi, Chris. Welcome to Tea Time.
Hi, Marilee. It's nice
to
be here.
Did you bring a cup of tea?
Actually, I do have my cup of tea.
And so do I as well. What flavor?
No, it's not green tea.
It's not tea,
but it is
okay.
Tea because, you know, everyone is different.
Right. Well, I have to be honest, I'm not drinking green tea tonight either. I'm drinking mint tea.
Aha. Uh-huh. And I'm having chamomile.
And chamomile. And I think just off the bat, this is a great way to have some self-nurturing, self-care. My tea is my favorite way of taking care of myself. How about you?
Well, you know, I think it's a lovely ritual. I think that's why the Japanese tea ceremony, it's all about entering into a different space. You know, it's about creating time and crossing a threshold. You know, even the preparation of the tea helps you to cross into a different place.
And I think that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. And we're focusing on self-care and specifically for nurses and other healing arts professionals and practitioners, those of us that really just are in the giving out mode more than receiving. And it's so incredibly important to receive. So I know we're going to have a fun chat over the next 40 minutes or so, and hopefully those who are listening in will be able to pick up some tips and, you know, maybe relate to us on a very personal level as well.
I hope so, Marilee. Marilee, I was thinking you were asking me to say a little bit about myself.
Yes,
and
indeed.
I was thinking that today I just was talking about self-care with a new cohort of nursing students at the university where I teach nursing. I teach at Eastern University, which is outside of Philadelphia. Did that mean somebody just came on?
And yes, and I'm actually going to do something to turn those controls off. Hold on one second.
Okay.
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 I'm not sure if that's going to be the case, if it's going to happen or not, but we'll just deal with it. Okay.
Well, we have a new group of nursing students, and our nursing programs are non-traditional programs, meaning we don't really have high school graduates who come into our nursing programs. We have adults who have degrees in other things who then can come and get a BSN with our program, or we have adults who are already RNs who don't have a bachelor's degree yet, and they come and they earn a bachelor's degree in nursing from our program. So our students are juggling a lot. They're juggling families. Many of them have children. Many of them have other work and, you know, other commitments. And the first thing that we talk about is how are they going to take care of themselves for the next few years so they can stay the course and finish strong, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a way to start with teaching healthcare professionals, right? Because we are really operating in the new paradigm of the holistic healthcare model where, you know, in the old model, you used to go to the doctor or the healthcare professional and they would tell you what to do, but they wouldn't be doing it themselves. Well, we're in a whole different space, right?
Yeah, heal or heal thyself. And when we learn our own path, we can often walk with other people on their healing journeys in a much more helpful way, you know, and we can be more present to them if we are taking care of ourselves the way we need to. I wanted to share one of the first tips that comes to my mind, you know, being an academic, I always love to share a good book with people. And I have a real good read on self-care that I'd like to share. And in fact, we recommend it. All of our nursing students have to read it before they begin their first class. And it's called The Joy Diet by Martha Beck, 10 Daily Practices for a Happier Life. And the reason I like this book, Marilee, is because Martha Beck wrote a wonderful book called Expecting Adam when she was pregnant with her son who had, I believe, Down syndrome. She's a really very readable author. But in this book, The Joy of the Diet, you know, she doesn't talk about what we should eat or anything like that, but she talks about practices that help us nurture our body, mind, and spirit. And the first one is just to do nothing, you know, and she believes that you need to do nothing for at least 15 minutes a day.
And is that difficult or what? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Other than sleeping, which that's actually doing something, isn't it? Sleeping.
Exactly. Yeah, that wouldn't count.
Right.
And she talks about nurturing your creativity, taking risks, giving yourself treats that are meaningful, making sure you have time to play, making sure you have laughter in your life, making sure you're having healthy connections with other people, you know, relationship maintenance so that can be a source of energy in your life rather than being drained.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Well, you know, it's interesting because you're talking about practices, and when I was thinking of things that we could talk about tonight, I made a few notes, and I actually made some columns, and on one column I had practices, but on another column I had behaviors and mindset, because I think one of the first things is, and a lot of this I'm basing on my own personal experiences of my struggles with self-care and fitting this type of thing into my life and working on it on a daily basis, but we need to have the ability to receive. And I think a lot of people, especially nurses and caregivers and caretakers and people who are in service to others, are liking to give and have difficulty in just sitting back and receiving, being in a mode of receptivity, I used to call it when I was teaching healing touch. And don't you agree with that? I mean, I think that's first and foremost before we can even bring in practices.
Mm-hmm. I think that is definitely something we tend to see in the helping professions, is the tendency to be wanting to be in a serving mode and putting a lot of energy out and not always making sure that it's balanced with, you know, energy conservation.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, and the example that everybody always uses is on the airline when the oxygen masks come down. You do have to put your own on first, and then you help any children or needy people around you. In other words, you do have to feed yourself first so that you can, you know, have the strength and the presence of mind and spirit so that you'll be available for others.
Right. So not coming from an empty vessel, but a full vessel.
Right. And of course, that will look different for different people. But I think women in general, I mean, I think a lot of it is probably gender-based a gender-based issue as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think women tend to be in the caretaking roles more frequently. Not certainly that's not always the case, but I think that even in households with a very, balanced marriage, between like a traditional, man and woman who are married, I do think that the woman still often is the one who's choreographing things.
Well,
even if she has a supportive husband, you know.
Right. And I have seen it, where the tables are turned quite a bit. But I think for women, it's very instinctual. Anymore, whenever I, I'm challenged by things and wanting to understand them on a much deeper level, we just look at nature, right? So instinctually, women have that. But I've seen many, many nurturing men as well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
remember the penguin, the March of the Penguins, and those male penguins just were freezing and keeping those eggs up. So,
Right. Wasn't the father the one that was really the daddy penguin?
was more of the nurturer,
yeah.
But all of us, no matter whether we're male or female, we do need to monitor ourselves and make sure that we don't get depleted, because I think that that whole caregiver burnout syndrome where you're giving out a whole lot and you get depleted. So what can we do so we don't get depleted?
Yeah, let's talk about something that can be done on a daily basis, or even starting with a state of being, right?
Right.
Hello?
Yeah, are we still clear?
Uh-huh. Yep, we're doing good.
I think one of the trickiest questions that I'd love to ask you, Marilee, is how come so often, most of us know how to eat fairly healthfully. I mean, we know the basics of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most of us know that we need to keep our bodies moving, and especially healers. I think that, we're enough in the literature about healing that we know we need to get enough sleep. We need to move our bodies enough, and we need to nourish our bodies with life-giving nutrients. And yet, even though we know this, how come sometimes it's really hard to actually do it?
Oh, my gosh.
To put into practice what we know and what we would teach others about. Why don't we do that for ourselves more routinely and more naturally?
Well, for me, one of the things that I've really worked on is first recognizing that many times our habits, right? The way we, we're feeling hungry, what do we do immediately when we want to eat something? It's a habitual response. So food is really important to me, and I've even designed my work life around it in a lot of ways, and have for years, to be able to either have the ability to prepare healthy food or take healthy food with me when I go somewhere. But the way I saw that was just a change of habit. And of course, I enjoy the process too. So that might make a difference. There might be some people out there that, wouldn't get too thrilled about washing kale off and throwing it in a little steamer in the morning before they run off. But, I have found that many of these things can be done just as fast as, putting a, what are some conventional things people eat? One of those pop-up toaster sweet things or even a bowl of cold cereal. I think it's really important to have warming, nutritious, nurturing food in the morning. And so that's one of the ways I've approached, is looking at something as a habit and then working on it as if I wanted to change a habit. How about you?
Yeah. Well, I kind of echo your thoughts in terms of a lot of it just involves some preparation and just a little bit of prior planning, because I think that what we have to work against sometimes is the path of least resistance. And if for example, we want to grab something quick, but if we have healthy stuff in our household, that's quick. And if we do a little planning, so we have a few healthy snacks maybe in our office and in our car, then we won't have to resort to grabbing for something that we know isn't good for us.
Mm-hmm.
But it does mean doing a little prior planning.
Mm-hmm. So, you know what, let's talk about this in a practical sense, because maybe some people can just hear how we approach it. And I've got strengths in certain areas of self-care and real weaknesses. And probably one of the strengths is the food thing going, because I just like food, but I like good, healthy, nurturing food. So one of the ways that I approach my daily eating is I always have greens, cauliflower, kale, dark leafy greens in the fridge that I can just rinse in the morning and put in a steamer or a little pot of water, and I just cook that while I'm running around doing something else to get ready in the morning. And I also have this wonderful, wonderful bread. I'm always dealing with worrying about eating wheat and yeast, so, you know, I'm always working on the candida issue. So I have a wonderful loaf of bread that I get in the frozen food section of, like, Whole Foods and Wegmans that I'll sit out on the counter and thaw. It has to be frozen. I'll thaw it out for a few minutes and pop in a slice in the toaster, and I have a big plate of greens and some toast with some hummus on it. How about you?
Well, in the mornings, I'll try to have some oatmeal and throw some frozen blueberries or some walnuts and some walnuts in there. And one of my favorite things now is I learned this. I had some wonderful neighbors years ago who were from Korea, and I learned that for breakfast they would just have the same thing that they would have for lunch and dinner, which was some greens and some maybe some fish and things like that. So what I do is I keep containers of broth on hand that you can buy at Trader Joe's or Whole Foods, you know, the organic chicken broth or the vegetable broth. And I just pour some of that broth in a little pan in the morning, and I just chop off the end of some of the greens. You know, I'll have some collards or some kale. Chop off the ends of the greens into the soup and just cook it for a couple minutes, and it's ready to eat. And I know some people would put a little miso in there, but it makes a more healthful and light breakfast, and I try to do that when I can. Sometimes I'll crack an egg into it. I know that sounds maybe strange, but I think that's what egg drop soup is, right?
Yes, it is. And the Italian wedding soup as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so, okay, so here's the question. What do you do when you crave sweets? I'll tell you my little secret.
Okay, yeah, what do you do?
No, actually, it'll probably be pretty boring. It's not too devilish at all. It's boring, but for me, it satisfies me completely. Is getting the plain yogurt that has the little side dish of honey in it. And I just eat that as an evening snack, and I just love it. It takes care of that little desire for sweet if I have it. And, you know, it doesn't spike the blood sugar too much, because when you mix the honey with the plain yogurt, it, you know, keeps the glycemic index down a little bit. How about you?
Right. Well, that's a great idea, Marilee. What I do is I get some whole grain bread, you know, and I'll toast it, and then I'll put a little honey on there and sprinkle some cinnamon on there. And that gets my, you know, my cinnamon craving and the sweet craving. And I think the cinnamon also is helpful for regulating blood sugar.
Yes, it is. Actually, there's been studies done on cinnamon. Yes,
yeah.
So,
that's what I do.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so talking about the day, starting, you know, I think an ideal day of self-care. Let's just dream a little bit here.
Okay.
And I always believe that, you know, if we aim really, really high with some high goals, that even if we get halfway to reaching that, it's still better than if we aimed low. Right?
Yeah, we're farther than we would have been.
Right. So starting in the morning, for me, I think if I am to be quiet and do nothing, the morning will be the time to do that.
Yeah.
Because already in that alpha mode, but waking up, having some meditation and prayer and affirmation time period, One of the things that I do, here's a little secret into my life in terms of how I work with manifesting what it is that I want, is I get those Post-its. You know, not the teeny little ones, but the huge size Post-it. And I'll write my goals out on that. Or sometimes I'll create a little mini dream board where I'll cut out things of, you know, pictures of things that I'd like to manifest or have in my life. And I'll stick that up. You can just stick that on a wall without hurting the paint. Sometimes I'll put it in my bedroom. And if I wake up
in the mirror
morning,
is a good spot.
What's that?
On the mirror.
On the mirror. Well, this is a huge size. I'm talking about poster board size.
Okay.
It's what I teach classes with, right? So it's really big. And I also have this little process that I go through with the Hara meditation and Hara alignment, if anybody is here listening to, you know, that has a background in healing touch or some of the Brennan work. Those of you with barking dogs, please star 6. Thank you. So anyway, I have that right in front of me. And that's very helpful.
Yeah, I can see how that would be. Well, you know, for Marilee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All of a sudden, it got so nice and quiet.
Yeah.
I thought maybe we were cut off.
Noise going there.
I was going to blame Prin for that barking.
Snoozing right here.
Yeah. For me, you know, my natural rhythm is a bit thrown off because I have a son. And I would love to be.
And you're a single parent, right?
And I'm a solo parent, right? I'm a solo parent, so I would love to be able to have quiet time in the mornings to get my day going that way. But I don't seem to be able to work it very often. But when I can, what I do is after I get my son on the bus in the morning, sometimes I'll just take a nice a hot bath and kind of get myself warmed up for the day if it's chilly weather, and maybe listen to some music in the tub. And that seems to me to be a lovely thing to do.
Mm-hmm. So I think what we're talking about here, Chris, are just little moments that we can snag that are really part of our daily routine, right?
That can set our intentions. I think we're talking about setting some intentions too, aren't we?
Yes, and in the morning is a great time to do that. And rather than fish around in your mind when you're waking up and say, oh, what do I want to accomplish today, or what do I want to, you know, what's my intention, having it prepared even the night before and, you know, writing it down on your bedside table so you have that right in front of you.
Well, you know, I recommend to people frequently that they use, you've just mentioned writing things down, and I frequently recommend journaling as a self-care measure, because when you write things down, it gets it up and out of your body, mind, spirit, so that if it's troubling you, you know, it won't work on you in a negative way. You get it up and out. I am not a journaler myself, but sometimes it helps me just to write some bullets. You know, I'll bullet thoughts or ideas or concerns, whatever. Have you ever journaled or kept any kind of a written, you know, like a diary or something?
Not ongoing, but I do, this is a funny name for it, but what I do a lot of is something called a brain dump. When I have so many things on my mind, because there's so many things that need to get done, and, you know, it just seems, I don't know if it's a little bit of age or a little bit of the hormone shifting or what it is, but I just, or maybe I just don't want to have to contain it all in my head. So mm-hmm. I just dump it all out on paper, and I will sit and write just furiously all the different things that are taking up a lot of energy in my head, in my mind, with my thoughts, and that seemed to be draining. And it's like you said, you know, when you get it down on paper, for me it's very, very freeing. And then once it's on paper, I can organize it in terms of priorities and then schedule out when I want to do what.
So you just do like a free association kind of thing? Whatever comes, you just write it down.
Absolutely. I do that when I can. And, you know, I also have, I've given myself a gift of a personal organizer who comes in and helps me, mostly with my home office. That's where I spend a lot of my time and need a lot of help. And sometimes I'll just sit in a chair and she will write. I'll say, okay, Ellen, this is what's on my mind today and this is what I want to get done. And that's really a pleasure to have someone else do it for you.
Yeah, you just sort of dictate. You know, I used to have a friend who had a very active mind, and it would actually be troubling for him sometimes. You know, it would keep him awake at night. And he got a little voice-activated tape recorder, and he just put it beside his bed. And if he had anything come into his mind, any ideas, all he had to do was say them. And it would start to record.
Right.
And he was into dream analysis for a while, and he didn't want to forget any dreams in the middle of the night. So he would even talk, if he woke up in the middle of the night, he would talk about what he had just been dreaming about. And that really worked well for him.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. It puts me in mind of one of the things I do is I have just a pad of paper and pen near my bedside. And in the morning, I think it's probably because we're coming out of that dream state or we're in the alpha state still, and I get answers. I think this happens for all of us, right? We get answers. We get insights.
Yes.
And it's important to write them down when we have it. And, you know, here's another funny place that I get a lot of information that I like to dump from my brain, from my mind, from my, you know, whatever aspect of the self that it comes from. And that's after my shower. It's when I'm in the bathroom in the shower, and I bet you a lot of people can relate to that. I'm curious if you do, Chris, that, you know, just the ideas that come in the shower. And I actually think from an energetic perspective, it's the electrical, you know, water is a conductor of electricity, and I think we heighten our energy flow when we are immersed in water, surrounded by water, and that's a great place for ideas to come in.
That makes sense.
Does that ever happen to you?
Well, I'm a Pisces. I always think I get a lot of great ideas when I'm in or near water. But you know, I do think too that the sleep state, there is some, you know, certainly there is some dissociation occurring, and so, you know, our conscious mind and unconscious mind, we kind of get out of our own way, and I think a lot does emerge. And I think for me, I also keep that pad of paper beside my bed, because if I don't write things down, sometimes I will actually lose them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very frustrating to me.
Especially if it's a creative thought, that would be hard to conjure up again. Yes.
Yeah, usually they're curriculum ideas, you know, things I want to use in a classroom setting. And I hate when I lose them.
So,
Marilyn, go ahead.
No, I was just going to suggest we talk about our own real challenges here. But what were you going to say? Was it on the note of what we were just talking about?
Yes. No, it was on the note of what you just suggested.
Oh,
which is our challenges. Yeah.
Well, for me, it's the computer. And again, I know there's some people that might be listening to this that they're on the computer all day, or part of the day, and are concerned about that. Some people might not be able to relate to it at all, but even if this doesn't apply to you, you can take these tips and, you know somebody in your life that this can help with. I'm concerned about the electromagnetics of the computer, yet I'm also in love with being on the computer and what I'm doing with my internet work. So a tip that I actually learned about through the Barbara Brennan School of Healing Science when it comes to energetics is by putting a jade plant right next to the computer. And this information came from some Japanese students at that school. If we can put a jade plant right next to our computer, there's something about the jade plant that can help to absorb I guess diminish some of the electromagnetics that we're exposed to.
Well, you know, that's a very good idea. And in fact, I think it's good in any environment to have a mixture of plants. And it seems like there are some plants, you know, the very simple, you know, fern, the spider plant, and ficus, and English ivy, and a Boston, I forget the other plant, but there's actually been wonderful research and some wonderful books written on having a variety of plants to detoxify the environment, because different plants handle different chemicals and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So not only energetically cleansing, but even just, petrochemically cleansing environments.
Right.
And certainly a lot of people work in cubicles or in enclosed buildings.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and having just a little variety of maybe just even 3 plants in their space can do a great deal to detoxify the environment. But it sounds like having a jade plant's a good idea.
Yeah, well, there was something specific about the electromagnetics from the computer. But on that note, I have to mention here, of course, the essential oils for oxygenating, detoxifying, and cleansing the environment. Diffusing essential oils is, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine my life without my diffuser. You know, I have one. My home office, where I sit a lot at the computer, is right near the entrance to the where you walk into the house. So I have my diffuser on the entranceway, which I'm able to get a lot of the good effects of the essential oils that are being diffused, and it's great because my dog lays right there as well, and so he's getting all of the good effects. And I have it on a light timer, so it is diffusing 5 minutes of the hour every hour during the daytime hours, and it's wonderful.
Do you use a blend, or do you just use a single oil for that, Marilee?
Well, I'll tell you what, and people laugh at me all the time for this, because even in the middle of the summer, my favorite blend that I diffuse all the time is Christmas Spirit. I just love that combination.
Yeah, it's a good one.
A little bit of spruce, a little bit of orange. But, whatever works for you, there are some that can be good for different times of the year. Peppermint's nice to diffuse in the summertime when it's hot.
Mm-hmm.
And how about you? Which one?
Well, I'm remembering. Well, I use such a variety, and it really depends. But do you remember that time we actually went to a conference together, and we you set up the I think you used purification in the on a wash rag, and you put it up by the air vent. You remember
yes.
that? Because remember my thing was
room.
Right in the hotel room, because we had decided we'd share a room that year. And I remembered telling you that I don't ever have housekeeping come in when I'm traveling.
And I love that idea. So for those of you who are listening, if you've never considered this before, I learned this from Chris, and I just love it. We were there for, 4 or 5 days, and we didn't have housekeeping come in and do our room.
No, because at home I don't change my sheets and towels every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured environmentally I really want to, leave less of a imprint. But also I don't want people to come in and sort of energetically muddy the environment. I kind of like to set a nice space, and I just like to kind of keep it as uncluttered as possible and try to make it more like home.
Hey, Chris,
go ahead.
I was changing the subject, so stay on that note there.
Well, no, I think that was about it for that.
Well, I just glanced at my computer screen, and I saw a question came in from the webcast. And this woman, Nina from Montclair, is asking, what is a great tip for healers for protection of or cleansing negative energy? So if you have, why don't you go, and then I'll say something about it as well.
Well, why don't you start, and then if I think of anything additional, I'll add it.
Okay. All righty. Well, one of the best ways, I think, for a healer, whether you're a massage therapist, an energy worker, an acupuncturist, if you're, working on an individual or an esthetician in a spa, a great thing to use is the essential oil blend called White Angelica. And you would use this before and after your session. Okay, now this question is about healers and particular, so I'm assuming it has to do with when they're with clients. But whether you're with a client or whether you're out on the streets of New York City and you just, you know, want to keep your field a little cleansed and protected, just running a few drops of white angelica through your energy field, taking a nice inhalation, putting the excess oil that might be on your palms after the inhalation, rubbing that on your shoulders, a little bit on your brow, is a great way to protect your energy field.
Yeah.
And cleanse negative energy.
Mm-hmm. Another thing is I tell my nursing students to use their breathing, you know, and to use intentional breathing exercises, you know, to keep themselves clear. Mm-hmm. And also, I think when you're it's easy to absorb a lot of people's pain and suffering without realizing it. And I tell my nursing students to just to say, you know, even a kind of a blessing and bless that person and say, I know that is their issue and not my issue at this time. And I want to walk with them, but I know that this is not mine.
Mm-hmm.
And then just kind of blow it away.
And
so it's almost using intention again to not take on that which is not ours.
Right.
And I think the breathing always helps me with those kinds of exercises.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that?
First of all, I think that's great that you mentioned breath, because I think we all too often forget just the whole idea of breathing. Mm-hmm. I think breath alone is powerful for many, many things. But on a real simplistic level, I get myself out of negative situations, I just remove myself if I can. And because being a healer and being an empath and being, you know, sensitive, it's very difficult to be around negative people, negative situations. But, you know, there's a way you can modulate your energy field, too, which is something that I definitely do. For those that know a little bit about healing touch and how to work with the energy field, you can just pull your field in and intentionally contract a little bit so you're not having the energetic exchange through your field as much.
Sure, you're just blocking it.
Yeah,
you just deflect it from the get-go.
What were you chuckling about? I heard you chuckle a little bit.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's just about not. Well, that's a very martial arts concept. Is just don't be there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Don't be in the wrong. Don't be in the wrong place at the wrong time anyway. And don't even let the energy in.
But hey,
in the first
place,
if you can help it.
One of the most difficult things, I think, when you're in the situation is when you can't move. How about sitting on an airplane, right?
No, right.
And you're around people. I mean, it's a packed airplane and sitting and waiting to take off. I've been in situations where you're there for hours sometimes and the person behind you is hacking, coughing, and,
I know what I do.
What's that?
And I think I learned this from you years ago.
What's that?
I have my, my oil, my oils in a baggie, my thieves and my purification and all that. And I put them on my sleeve, because when we weren't allowed to take stuff on the plane, I kind of had to do all this ahead of time. And I just try to contract my field in, and I just put my, I'll just keep sniffing from my wrist or sniffing from my little baggie, my little cotton ball, and just contract my field in and
get real, ideal.
Contracted.
right. You know, it's probably not a bad idea to go on a plane in that situation, just to, be really in the self-care mode. Actually, I like to sit on the plane, and it's a time when I'm forced to be quiet and with nothing else to do, but I like to read. And definitely I have what you talked about, a little tissue with a few drops of an essential oil. Usually it's RC or Raven or something that I like to breathe through the whole process. So, I'm not exposed to that recirculated air. But now that I have this wonderful aromatherapy jewelry, that I bought for my girlfriend who designed aromaware.com. I'll give you a plug there, Kathy. I wear my bracelet, and I can just, you know, put my nose down to this pretty little locket and do an inhalation, and it's great.
Wow, that sounds like the olden days where people would have a ring and they could open up the ring,
yes.
And inside they would have their...
That's what Kathy
designed
her jewelry around, and I don't have the right terminology for it off of the top of my head, but it's back in that historical time period, yes, and it's beautiful. So I'll give you another plug, Kathy, aromaware.com. Yes. But so let's see. I have another little thing that helps me get through my day and has made a world of difference. And again, you know, we're talking about ourselves here, but these are tips and recommendations to others as well. Is my doggy, little Prince. Boy, can an animal, if you don't have children or an animal and you want to have a little bit more of a balanced life, like for me, I love to work. I work too much. I need a little more play, a little more fun. And Prin is my little regulator, so he will let me know when it's time for his walk, let me know when it's time. He is on a clock. He's my little timer when it's time to go to bed, which he waits for me. He's like clockwork. It's amazing when it's time to take a break, and it's a lot of fun.
He gets you up and away from the computer as well.
Up and away from the computer.
Yeah.
And
you know,
I was just going to say, taking a walk, whether you have a dog or not, is really a fabulous, wonderful self-care technique.
Absolutely. The wonderful thing about having a dog is you have to do it in any kind of weather, no matter what the weather is. You're out there and in the elements, and it's kind of cool. Our dog died a few years ago, and we still have two wonderful cats. Mm. And I am not ready to get another dog just because of the responsibility of just raising my son on my own. And I just think, you know, I was in love with our dog Buddy, but, you know, now that he's not with us, I don't know that I can take care of that, you know, I can provide that much care right now. But I do know that these two cats bring so much into our home environment. Sometimes when you're a solo parent, you can have just so much energy between you and your child, and it's just nice to have that, you know, a diversion in there. It's like an energetic diversion.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And it's good. And they just bring a really wonderful different feeling into the mix.
Right. So I know that you have some specific things that you do with your son, like a certain, of course, there's always certain bedtime for children and time where you have family time together. And basically what I'm talking about here are time boundaries. And I think that's important for us to talk about for self-healing and self-care here.
Like, what do you mean?
Well, actually, when I...
Like the fact that I don't have any time for self-care?
No, that you do make time for self-care. I'm thinking that who comes to mind is another woman that I know in my essential oil little group, you're both moms of single parents. Mm-hmm. And I know, well, I'll speak about her for a minute. I won't name her because I, you know, haven't talked to her about that I was going to say anything, but I like that she does this media-free time period, you know, that, of course, TVs are off at a certain time, computers are off at a certain time, no games, you know, no phone at a certain time. It's like creating family time. It's creating time boundaries, and I know for me that's one of my great challenges, so I'm working on a certain time during the day when I'm just going to answer emails. You know, I'm not going to let the emails flow all day and answer them flowing all day because that eats time up a lot. So why don't you talk a little bit about how you create time boundaries in your life?
Well, you know, this is a very important issue, I think, nowadays, Marilee, because I think people are much too connected and on too much of the time. And I think that's why Martha Beck's first principle on her joy diet is to do nothing for 15 minutes a day. I really am concerned, and as you know, I'm a pediatric nurse practitioner. That's my clinical background. pediatrics and adolescent. And I'm really concerned at the degree of connectivity that people have. You know, young people, I don't think are...
What do you mean by connectivity? What do you mean? Like,
I mean...
connecting to the internet, connecting to each other? What do you mean?
Yes, connecting, being connected rather than being just disconnected and quiet. You know, the French philosopher Blaise Pascal said that humans' biggest problem is not being able to just sit alone in a room quietly.
Right. Right.
And he wrote that many, many, many decades ago. But I think we have a serious mental health issue here when you have a generation of folks who cannot be without their cell phone or their IMing or their Bluetooth, whatever it's called, or be on their computer. I think that it's not good for the nervous system, and I don't think it's good for that whole the science of the body-mind-spirit connection, which is called psychoneuroimmunology. But it's that whole idea that, you know, we weren't created to be hooked up and turned on and tuned in all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That we're wired, that we do need quiet and peacefulness, where we're not always in a response mode.
A little difficult for me, though, the word connectivity, because I see that as a positive. In my, you know, frame of reference, I see being connected as a positive thing. Now, I don't think of it in terms of electronics all the time. So for me, I would need to change that word a little bit, like media-free or electronic-free, you know, time period. I think being connected is... I don't know. I think connection's important, even connection to ourselves. So,
well, I think we have to allow that time for connection with ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, and I think when we're externally connected, you know, so much of the time, you don't see people. You see people nowadays going for walks outside talking on a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see people in the grocery store talking on a cell phone or shopping.
So it's
they're constantly multitasking, and I think it's really hard on the immune system, you know, and the nervous system, okay, and the interface between the nervous system and the immune system.
Yeah.
It's anxiety. It's anxiety producing because people are always they're always on.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been some good research. People are starting to look at this because it is a growing concern. It's a health concern.
Right. Well, I was seeing a holistic physician out in California a few months ago, and she talked a lot about this, and she called it electric smog. There's actually a name for this problem of being surrounded by electronics and being, I guess how you would say, connected to electronics a lot. It's called electric smog, and I got to tell you a funny story. So I said to her, well, you know, what do you recommend? You know, I mean, I'm aware of the jade plant next to the computer. And she very seriously said, she said, dig a ditch in your backyard if you have a backyard. She said, do you have a backyard? I said, yeah. I have a big backyard. She said, dig a ditch and lay in the ditch for 15 minutes during the
day.
You mean
to get that earth energy thing grounded.
Yeah, listen,
get that geo,
crazy.
Your geo-terrestrial thing.
Yeah.
That would make lying in a saline bath. Remember that saline?
The tubs?
The tub thing, yeah, that would make
tank.
That look.
Yeah, flotation.
Yeah,
tank.
Like you could dig yourself like a living grave in the backyard.
That's what
there.
She was referring to. But you know, I said, well, hey, is there, you know, plan B on that? Because I don't think it's going to affect. She's just hugging a tree, and doesn't that make sense? I mean, of course we learn that from, you know, a lot of our energy classes. And geez, I said, I had a mom who taught us how to hug trees, you know, when we were growing up. But that's a very good thing. So actually, honestly, there are times when I'm on the computer, you know, way too long. I can feel it in my field and in my hands. I go right outside and I just put my hands right on the dirt. Or I will go and stand next to a tree. I don't literally hug it unless it's, you know, I'm sure no one's looking around. But, I mean, just standing next to a tree and asking the Mother Earth energy to balance out our field, my field, is something that we can do.
Well, you know, I think for folks who haven't ever put their arms around a tree, it is a quite a wonderful experience because, you know, trees are bigger than we are, and you know, there's big energy there, and it's nice to feel that way when you're an adult with so many responsibilities and you feel like people are sort of leaning on you, and it's just really nice to have something that's so big and solid.
Mm-hmm.
And hugging a tree is a wonderful feeling.
Yeah.
You know, Marilee, I know we're running out of time, and I remembered something I had wanted to say in terms of being on the computer a lot.
Yes.
I think I tell my students, because I'm teaching students yoga at the university where I teach nursing. I also teach a yoga course every semester, yoga and Pilates. But I tell my students when they're at their computers, it's really important to just take regular breaks to stretch and breathe.
Mm.
And they can do so much even right in their chair.
Yes.
Just leaning over, you know, folding over at your waist and getting your chest right down toward your knees. Just compressing your abdominal organs, and it's all very helpful to, you know, just reach your arms up and out and massage your wrists and your hands and kind of take everything through normal range of motion and take some breaths, because that is pretty sedentary activity, which we know isn't good, you know.
Right. And another thing that's important in terms of computer self-care is blinking. And I learned a lot about computer self-care just the hard way because of my transition from, you know, being in private practice, seeing lots of clients, to working on the computer. Blinking is very important.
That's right. And staring off at a distance.
Mm-hmm.
You actually want to stare away so that the eye can rest. You
right.
want to look out the window and actually, you know, look at things that are at a distance. Do you know the journal, the alternative, you know, therapies journal?
Mm-hmm.
There was a really interesting piece in the last edition written by an eye doctor, or was an interview of an eye doctor, who talked about eye care and had some really interesting holistic perspectives on the eye.
Oh.
So I recommend it to anybody who has access
issue,
to that journal.
The recent issue?
The recent issue, mm-hmm, of alternative therapies.
Great.
In healing and medicine.
Great. Well, I know it is time for us to wrap up. I also want to give you a little plug. If anybody who is listening to this show is going to the American Holistic Nurses Conference in just a few weeks, Chris is the ear, and she does an amazing, amazing job at it. Very, very entertaining. And I'm sure if you are a member of HNA and you get the journal or the magazine, you'll see probably pictures of her coming up soon after the mm-hmm. conference. And
yes, we do holistic auctioneering.
Holistic auctioneering, right. So for those of you who are listening, I want to thank you for being here, and I would just love any type of comments if you want to send an email to me, or if you want to go to the site, greenteawithmarilee.com. There is an actual little box where you can ask a question, make a comment, put your name address, and or you can email me directly at marilee777@aol.com. That's M-A-R-I-L-E-E 777. And I want to thank Chris Jackson for her wonderful presence and fun time and having tea. I went through a cup and a half of tea as we were speaking here, and I brought a little teapot with me. I do that because I do more than a cup at a time. So thank you, Chris, for being on the call with me tonight.
It was my pleasure, Marilee.
It was great having tea talk with you. Thank you all for joining us and taking your precious time to listen. I hope you got some benefits, got some good tips, and stay tuned because we have more fun tea talks and great things to come. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome, Marilee.
Bye-bye.